I want to start off at. No, first let me get him a message. Time and time again, we just like see the. I realized this morning that we have like a lot of blessings, and I just kind of conjured up this message because it's a matter of fact of what we do with these blessings. So,
I clip this on it. There we go. All
right, turn to Luke 19. I'll go ahead and read verse 16. It says, Then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, and have authority over 10 cities. And then the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, But thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. And it says, For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, that thou takest up, that thou layest not down, and reapest thou, that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an austere man, and taking up that I laid not down, and reaping what I did not sow. And I'll go ahead and pray real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask you just to calm my nerves, and
Amen.
Bless this message. Just speak through me, Lord, and get me out of the way.
Amen.
And I just ask this message would actually get a hold of somebody and just help anybody out there, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
So what you have right here is you have two, or I think it's three kind of like servants. And, you know, two of them were actually, you know, they're pretty good. And they showed their faithfulness and how they multiplied their pound, which you could take in that was their blessing that the Lord gave them. But the third, however, he kept his pound and hid it from everybody, and it was hid inside of his napkin. Well, you know, if you end up hiding your napkin, or in a sense that, you know, you won't show anybody how good Christ has been in your life and how many blessings you have, and it's just, it's good to multiply that pound because God, he always wants something back. He doesn't want to give you a blessing and doesn't, you know, it's kind of like he's putting interest in you.
Amen.
And, real quick, go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 11 says, Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher of the Gentiles, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know who I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith, love, which is the Christ Jesus. So, like I said, God, he wants something that he has more than what he's already put into us, and he wants to multiply that over time. And, you know, it's important for a Christian and, you know, this whole building, this church has multiplied blessings onto every single one of us.
Amen.
And, you know, the devil often will try to steal your interest because he doesn't want God to have something. He just doesn't want you to multiply that pound because more often times he wants to take the glory from God. And,
right.
You know,
Amen.
And the one way is imagine Satan is... Now imagine you as kind of like a bank, and very much like, you know, in a bank you hire guards to hold them from getting your interest. So in our life you need to hold and stand these, you know, kind of these poles and these guards that
That's
will keep Satan out, and just reading the Word of God and praying about it and really just seeking, having, like he said this morning, have a hunger. Literally, I mean, there's times where you don't want to read your Bible, and I've been there, and, you know, after a point you get a hunger for it because, I mean, you just search for answers and answers and answers.
Amen.
And oftentimes the devil will try to steal your interest, and it's really important that you try to keep him out. So.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Hey. Come
on, Dave. Got your Bibles. Go ahead and open up to Jeremiah chapter 8.
I had this message on my heart last Sunday with all the testimonies that were given, and they were good. They were an encouragement. But I had this message here on my heart as people were going on and talking about the hard things that they've been through and how God has seen them through it. In Jeremiah chapter 8, we'll start in verse 22. Well, it's only verse, it's the end of the chapter, so. In verse 22 it says, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for what you've done. Dear Lord, I thank you for giving me this message. God, I pray that you will just use me. I pray that you'll get my nerves out of the way.
Amen.
I pray that you'll have this message be able to help somebody. I know that there's people that are hurting every day. A lot of times we don't even know what they're going through. Dear Lord, I pray that this message will help and encourage somebody. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now the first thing I want to say is that there's no such thing as backslidden. The word backslidden implies that the individual reaches a plateau in his sin. But rather it's backsliding, meaning the individual continues down the slope of sin. In Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 4, it says, "Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, shall they fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast a seat and refuse to return." In verse 22, it says, "Is there no balm in Gilead?" I'm here to tell you tonight that there is a balm in Gilead. Whenever you're down, whenever you're depressed, whenever you're sad, whenever you're upset, whenever you're in the middle of a storm, there is a balm in Gilead. When the balm was required to be applied is when there was a sorrowful heart. Sorrowful heart over in Luke chapter number 4. In Luke chapter number 4, in verse 18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." I want to, if you're in here this night tonight and you're going through something, if you have a sorrowful heart, if you're in the middle of a storm, just remember that if you feel like you've been rejected, that you're accepted in the Beloved. If you feel like you've been left, know that he'll never leave you or forsake you. If you feel that you're alone, remember that Romans chapter 8, verse 38 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." The balm is to be applied in a sorrowful heart. Now, like I said last Sunday, all these testimonies were given about people who've gone through some things in their life. And you know, the ones who made it through those times are the ones who applied the balm to their sorrowful heart.
Amen.
They didn't get through it on their own. They didn't get through it because of man's help. They didn't get through it because of this or that. Miss April said last Sunday that she just appreciated how it felt to be in his arms.
Amen.
The balm is to be applied in a sorrowful heart. In Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 19, it says, "Behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and their strange vanities?" Not only is the balm supposed to be applied in a sorrowful heart, not only is it supposed to be applied in the middle of your storm, but it's supposed to be applied in your sin.
Amen.
Jesus gives us victory over our sin.
That's right.
Jesus will give you the victory. But you can't rely on yesterday's victories to get you through today.
That's right.
You can't rely through what he's already done. You can't rely on that.
The Bible says that his mercies are new each day. You can't rely on what you've gotten through last week. You can't rely on what he's brought you through last year and be saying, that's good enough. I don't need you today. It needs to be applied in your sin. It needs to be applied in your sin. When I was a teenager, looking back, it was kind of a jerk thing to do. But we'd be at camp, and it never failed. Every single year, on the last night, you'd have the same exact people give the same exact testimony about how they've given up the same exact sin as they had the previous 7 years. And once you start to like realize that this is what's happening, you know, I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying I was a bad person when I was a teenager, okay? I was mean. But you'd sit there and somebody would get up and you'd kind of chuckle a little bit and you'd be like, oh, I know. I already know what he's going to say. I know how the next 30 minutes of this service is going to go. This person's going to get up and say this, and this person's going to get up and say this, and this person's giving that up again for the third time this week. And that's kind of how it goes. People fight with their sin. And the people who don't get victory over it are the people who are trying to fix it on their own. Those are the people who haven't applied the balm to their sin. Those are the balm will give you victory, but it has to be applied initially and continually. You can't say, well, it's good enough now. I think I can make it. I can take it from here, Lord. That's not how it works. Have you learned nothing? Have you learned nothing from your past? You need the balm of Gilead. Is there no physician there? Gilead is a rocky place. It has the mountains and it has these hills and it's a rough terrain. As a matter of fact, the word Gilead means rough. And God shows up in the rough times.
Amen. Yeah.
God will put rough terrain so that we keep coming back to him. So that we keep coming back to him. If it wasn't for the hard times, if it wasn't for the rough times, you wouldn't know how truly good it is.
That's right. Yeah.
How truly good God is. Yeah. If it wasn't for the bad times, you wouldn't appreciate the good ones.
Right. Right.
If it wasn't for the hard times, you wouldn't appreciate the rest that he gives you afterwards. The Bible says over there in Mark chapter number 4 at the end, it says that there was a great storm. The disciples, they're freaking out. They don't know what to do. Jesus gets up and says, peace be still. And the Bible says that there was a great calm. You know why there was a great calm? Because it was a great storm.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have gotten that great calm if Jesus hadn't gotten them through the great storm. The balm needs to be applied. There's going to be some rough times. Now, in the middle of Gilead, there's this highway called the King's Highway. And it runs straight through Gilead. In the midst of all this rocky terrain, there's plains where physicians would go in order to grow the trees to make the balm. Physicians would move. They would live there in the middle along the King's Highway. They would live there so they could make this balm. And people would come from all over to get some, to get a fix. After the balm is created, you understand that the tree is grown from a seed. Then the root is beaten until a liquid comes out. My Lord, he was beaten. He was beaten. And he flowed, the blood flowed from him. Now I'm part of his seed. Now I'm a child of the King.
Amen.
The balm.
That's good.
The balm of Gilead. Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Faith Baptist Church, you have the balm.
Amen.
The doctor is there. The doctor is here. So why haven't you gotten better?
Amen.
So why haven't you gotten better? You know, the world says time heals all wounds. What? What is that? Time heals all wounds? I can name people who've been bitter for 15 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Time heals all wounds. No, no. My Lord heals my wounds.
Amen.
Why then is the health of the daughter of my people recovered? You have the balm, the doctor's there, get better.
Amen.
The only answer that I can think of is that the balm has been handed to you. It's been preached to you. He reaches out to you, but you refuse. You refuse. You want to do it your way. In verse 19, it says, over here in verse 19, it says that there is graven images and strange vanities that provokes him to anger. Throw aside your graven images. You know, a lot of people, you know what their graven images are, their strange vanities are? It's their self. It's their self.
Amen.
That's what it is. Throw it aside. Get rid of it. Put yourself down and lift him up.
Amen.
Put yourself down. Lift him up. Throw aside those strange vanities. And if you're in here and you're saved and you're still struggling with that sin, if you're still struggling with that sorrow, you're still struggling in the middle of your storm with that bitterness, try the balm.
Amen.
Just try the balm. Where is Gilead? It's wherever you want it to be.
Yeah.
It's wherever you want it to be. It could be here at this altar. It could be in your car driving to and from work. It could be at work. It could be at home during devotions. It could be wherever you want it to be. If you just find Gilead, you find the balm, and you can apply it to your life.
Yeah.
Apply it to your life. It won't get better until you do. Last week we heard testimonies of people who have gone through some things. Gone through some things. Pastor was talking about pop-up sage this morning. I remember growing up with Roger, your brother. I grew up with him. He used to come over with little Phil, and we used to hang out all the time. I remember Roger. I remember what your family went through. I was there. I saw it happen. Miss April, I remember watching you guys when what happened with Chelsea happened. I remember watching. I wasn't going through it, but I was there. I could see the balm being applied to your life. Miss April, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but I've been paying insane amount of attention to you and your family this past year.
Yeah.
I've been looking up to you to a point where you probably don't even realize it. Uncle Tommy, I remember everything that's gone through with TJ in the past and how the doctor said he shouldn't even be alive at this point. But here he is. How old is he now? 24. I remember the balm being applied. Miss Joan, Brother Cody, apply the balm.
Amen.
People are going through it. It's hard. It's hard, and I understand that it's hard. I haven't been through a whole lot in my life, but I've watched each and every person in here apply it to something in some aspect. Michael Shane, he's younger than me, man. We went to Bible school together. He's one of my buds. But I look up to him.
Yeah.
I look up to him. I know what he's lost. I know what he's gone through. I know what the Lord has brought him through.
Amen.
I know that when times got hard in Connecticut, he still stuck with it and he got through.
Amen.
And now the Lord is using him in a mighty way.
Yeah. Amen.
Because the balm was applied.
Yeah.
The balm was applied. I tell you, this was on my heart. It's been on my heart for the past week. Faith Baptist Church, apply the balm. Don't forget about it because you've gotten through this or you've gotten through that. Apply the balm. We've been through hard things and there's only worse things coming. There's going to be hard things that are going to come in your life and you're not going to know what to handle it. And all you're going to have to do is you're going to have to give it to God.
That's right. Yeah.
And you're going to have to apply the balm.
Let's
go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for what you've done, God. I thank you for what you've brought Faith Baptist Church through. I thank you for the small things you've done for me. I thank you for the testimonies you've given each person here at Faith Baptist Church. Lord, we love you. You've been so good to us, and we don't even deserve it. You've brought us through things that were our own faults to begin with. And we thank you for that. We can't thank you enough.
Amen.
In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Good preacher.
That's good.
Good preacher.
Isaiah chapter 40.
Isaiah 40.
I love this verse. These verses. Isaiah chapter 40. Whenever I sign a Bible, I usually sign it. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry and brought me up also out of a horrible pit out of the miry clay. set my feet upon a rock. That's Psalms 40. But in Isaiah 40, it says, verse 25, it says, to whom then will ye liken me? Or who shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Who are you going to liken God to? He said, to whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal? There is nobody. There ain't nobody equal to him. Nobody. I mean, it's foolish that we depend on other things. And I mean, to get to the place where you can grow and get to the place where you can trust the Lord completely is a great thing. I've seen some people that I thought they were strong, and I thought they were, going to serve God, and they were, you know, nothing could stop them, and I've seen them fall apart.
Right.
First time something happened in their life.
Amen.
I've seen them come unglued, man. I've seen them at the seams just fall apart. And I thought, my Lord, I thought they were stronger than that. I thought, you know, you said, well, you haven't been through what they've been through. I know. I don't want to go through the, I've been through some hard things. And I, as a pastor, I've been through a lot, most of everything with everybody here and that comes to this church and people that don't even come anymore. I've been through it with them and my heart breaks for them. I wake up in the middle of the night crying, begging God for them and everything else. And it says, who are you going to liken me to? God says. I mean, folks, you got to come to the realization there is nobody that you can liken him to. There's nobody you can compare him to. I mean, why? Because there ain't nobody on this planet that can help you, like Brother David just said, and like my brother just preached about. And there ain't nobody, man. I mean, there's a bomb in Gilead. And the Lord says, you come to me. You come to me. Who then will you liken me? Or who shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up mine eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bring out their host by number? He said, man, look around. Look up at, you see, go out tonight when it gets dark and go outside. And I like to go outside and look up to the stars and talk to him. And just talk to him. Woo! Ain't nothing like it, man. Ain't nothing like when you're going through something, you're saying, God, what do I do? Lord, show me what to do. Show me what to say. God, help me. And man, I'll tell you what, you get a peace that passes all understanding, man, to come over you. I mean, you look at all this handiwork. The Bible talks about it in Romans chapter 1. You look at his handiwork. I mean, there is nobody like him. Ain't nobody you can compare him to. And why do we try to look for help over here and over there? We go there. We run there. We run everywhere trying to find help when he's the only one that really can help you and give you that peace and that joy and that comfort that you need. It's not in the drugs. It's not in the drinking. I mean, there's people coming there today. They was high. They were high as a kite, man. And they're looking. They said, well, I'm my own man. I do my own thing. You know, what it is, they have to have some synthetic drug or something else to try to make them have some peace. And the only one I found that can give me real peace is the Holy One. Amen. I mean, the one on high, he can give you peace that passes all understanding. No matter what you're going through, no matter where you've been, what's going on, he can give you peace and comfort. And it just boggles my mind why we go and look for peace and getting on the phone or getting on Facebook or getting on something else trying to find some peace.
Right.
When I'm telling you, man, when you just say, God, help me, Lord, and he's right there. He was talking about calming the storms and the waters and all that. The Lord is right there, man. He's right there. He's listening to everything. He knows your very heart. He knows your very thoughts. He knows everything about you. He knows what you need. And the Bible says, lift up now your eyes on high, and behold, he hath created these things, and bring out their host by number. He says he called them by all by names, by the greatness of his might. You look up in stars at night, and you look up there, God is named every one of them. I mean, we come across, and you know, scientists said this is Betelgeuse, this is Jupiter, this is that. God's named everything, man, everything up there by name. He's got a name for him. And you know, we sing that song, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. I mean, I believe this. I believe when we get to heaven, your name is going to be associated with the way you served him here. And the faithfulness. I mean, your name be associated with that. And the 21st century Christian is going to be ashamed of the way we are, the way we turn so fast against him. And it says, lift up thy eyes on high. Behold, he that have created these things that bring out their host by number. He called them by all by names, by the greatness of his might. that he is strong in power. Not one faileth. Not one. Not one faileth. I mean, you know what, folks? That God has never had he's never failed. He's never had a reject. He's never had a misfire. God's got everything right under control. I mean, he knows everything about what you're thinking. He knows what your heart is. He knows what you're going to face tomorrow. He knows what you're going to face next week. I mean, folks, we don't even know what we're going to face. I mean, within an hour, we don't know. We might leave here. Something might happen. Somebody, we get a call. It seems like sometimes on Sunday night, I get a call. So-and-so just went to the hospital, and this happened, and that's happened. And what I do, I start saying, oh, God, God, help, Lord. God, help them. And I don't get on the phone and say, hey, man, we need some prayer. No, we start crying out right then to God right then. We just say, God, you know what's going on. And it says, look at it, I love this. And he says in verse 27, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? He said, you trying to hide it? What do you think? What do you think? God's stupid? What do you think? You're going to try to hide something from him? You think he doesn't know it? He doesn't know what you're going through? I mean, he knows, man. He knows. He knows where you've been, where you're going, what you're doing. He knows it all. You ain't going to hide it from him. He says, hast thou not known, verse 28, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. You feel kind of faint tonight? You feel kind of weak? Man, I tell you what, the Bible says he giveth power to the faint. It says, the creator of the ends of earth fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. This is another thing that boggles my mind. When we go to bed at night, God doesn't go to bed. God doesn't go to sleep. You know why I pray? I always pray, watch over me now, Lord, in the middle of the night. God, watch over my family. Watch over my children over the night, God. We don't know what might come at us. We don't know. I mean, I'm thinking a plane can fall out of the sky. I said, God, watch over us. Protect us. You're always awake. You faint not. God, you're there all the time. Watch over us, God. We're stupid, God. We need your help. I tell you what, you say, what's wrong with praying that? Ain't nothing wrong with praying that. Amen. Ask the Lord to help you. He fainteth not, neither is weary. God never gets tired. That's another thing that boggles your mind. You know, we on Sunday afternoon, we say, man, I'm wore out. I'm tired. I want to go to bed. I just want to go. And he's not wore out. The Lord, man, I mean, you ain't no catching the second breath. The Lord ain't worried. You say, well, that's God. Yeah, but he's watching over. He'll take care of you. He'll meet your need. And, man, when you're weary, call on him. When you feel powerless, ask him to help. He giveth power to the faint. He giveth them that have no might. He increases what? What? He increases strength. Man, how many of y'all need more strength tonight?
Amen.
He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint. These guys down here. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. And the young man shall utterly fall. And the Lord says, hey, man, I ain't faint. You know, I thought about this. I thought about Moses. I thought about Moses. Man, coming down, had 2 million people complaining, griping. All that time. I mean, all the things Moses put up with. And the Bible says about Joshua. He said, God gave him the strength. And he said, my strength has not abated. He's a man, Moses, man, he had to go up in the mountain and God had to put him asleep and let him die. I mean, Moses, 120 years old, strong, still ready to go, still ready to fight. And the Lord says, well, I tell you what, Moses, since you did what you did, you disobeyed me, look over Jordan. I'll show you all the promised land, but you ain't going in. Joshua, man, leads him over. With, 80-year-old man going through there. Still, his strength has not abated. Boy, God gives strength. I think about Brother Soche, we've got and Dr. Upman, others that I know. God's given them strength to go on. And God's given some older men, older women, some strength to go on. He's the author of strength. He's the author of it. Now, the Bible says this. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, I'm always telling young people, I'm always telling them, wait on the Lord. I'm telling people, wait on the Lord.
Amen.
Wait on the Lord. Be of good cheer. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know what? People don't want to wait, especially on the Lord. They said, the Lord's too slow. No, he ain't. He's in front of you. He's behind you. He's beside you. He's under you. He's over you. And don't think God's too slow and he needs to catch up. God's right there. Amen. He says, They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run, shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now, folks, if you wait on God, God will give you strength to go through whatever problem, whatever trial you're going through, whatever it is, whatever need it is that you have a need of, God will give you strength if you ask him for it. And, you know, my mother used to always say, oh, God, give me strength. Oh, God, give me strength. You know what he does? He gives it to you.
Amen.
Look what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 24. Look what the Bible says. Chapter 24. It says this. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10. It says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. We got guys walking around, look like Hercules, and inside they look like Pee-wee Herman.
That's right.
When it comes to their strength and faith. Man, I tell you what, God wants you to have strength inside the inner man. And that strength comes from him and him alone. The time you spend with him, and like Brother David said, the trials you go through, God's proven himself to you. And what happens to people, they'll get mad over things that they go through. They'll get mad. You think about Job, what Job went through. People always talk about, man, I'm going through the things of Job. No, you ain't. Well, I'm having the trials of Job. You know what, Job? He lost everything he had in one day. And then the next day, the devil talked God and said, hey, I'll tell you what. He said, you know, Job, you know, you took away his stuff. He didn't curse you yet. But you touch his body, he will. And the Lord says, okay, go ahead. And the Lord says, all right, go ahead. And he put boils on the top of his head. And Job shaves his head. So, and he takes a thing and scrapes himself, and his wife says, you still retain your integrity? Now, I'm not trying to get down on her. She just lost 10 kids. Right. She just lost everything she had. I mean, she was in despair. Yes, and her husband goes out, and he's got boils all over his body. And they have no means of income, no way to live. And Job had no Bible.
Right.
He didn't have no Bible. He didn't have nothing, man, like you have. And you start talking about you're going through the trials of Job? No, you ain't. You got a Bible you can go to. You got comfort from the Word of God. You can get strength from the Word of God.
Amen.
Job, man, he's out there by himself. And his wife says, why don't you just, you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die. And he said, you speak as a foolish woman, as one of the foolish women. But she was going through it too. The Bible says the Lord ended up giving him double what he had. His wife ended up having more children. Can you imagine that? 10 more? My Lord. And man, we talk about the faith of Job. We talk about the trials of Job. We haven't been through nothing. Nothing. If you fail, the Bible says, it says this, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. And like I said, I've saw people that I thought was a man, they were strong. I thought they would stand up for God. I thought they would just not back up. I thought they would never give up. And guess what? They did. Why? If you don't learn to rely on him and him alone, it says he faint not, neither is he weary. You might get weary. We're in this old flesh. You might want to faint. The Bible says, faint not. Faint not. It says, be not weary in well-doing. Are we trying to do well, folks? Yes or no? Yes?
Amen.
Are we trying to do well?
Yes.
Be not weary in well-doing. For in due season, ye shall reap if you faint not. Don't be weary, man. Ask God to give you strength. Ask God. And get in this book. I said Job didn't have a Bible. Job didn't say, wait a minute, let me turn in my Bible here and let me see what God has to say about it. Let's go over to the book of Proverbs. He didn't have that. And you've got everything available.
That's right, amen.
Jesus Christ made you a part of him. And he's a part of you. And you've got the permanent indwelling of the Holy Ghost of God inside you.
And you're going to tell me, and you're going to tell me that you can't? When greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world? Job didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Ghost like you have. Permanent. That's why we had a bunch of Christians in here earlier. A bunch of people saved. Now I should say saved. And I said, Christian, a Christian is somebody trying to be just like Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's trying to be faithful in serving him. Being faithful in loving him. It says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Well, how big is your strength? How big is your faith? You know, Jesus got upset with his disciples. He said, he'd always say to them, oh, ye of little faith. You know, we've got the availability. We've got Bibles. I had a lady, I was going to give a lady a discipleship book here, and she came up, and she said she asked the Lord to save her. And I said, well, let me give you a discipleship book. She said, no, I got 4 Bibles at home. I wanted to say, do you read them? I got a lot of Bibles, but I want to read them. I want to study them.
Amen.
I want to get stronger.
Amen.
I want to get stronger of the inner man. And at 61 years old, I want to keep whatever I got. Strength, physical. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Now, Christian, we're going to, Brother David said it. And Brother Austin said it. I want this church to be here. There's a bunch of little kids that was here at that funeral. And a little girl got up and sang, and I told her mama, I said, get them children in Sunday school. Every one of those moms said, yeah, I know I need to do it. I want this church to be here, still serving God, still getting Christians, people getting saved, people getting stronger, people wanting to serve God, people stepping up to the plate, just like we've seen. 30 years, folks. 30 years I've been here. I want to see it go another 30 years, 40 years, till
Amen.
Jesus comes.
Amen.
But man, if you faint in a day of adversity, when trouble comes. I told you, Rocky was killed that day. I got a feeling. I know it was the Lord. I was going to Dover, driving down the road, and I felt something bad. I felt real bad in the car. I was coming down 13. I went, something's wrong. And I started praying. Something's wrong. So I called home, and the phone was busy. I felt it. And finally, Sheena, a girl, was living with us. She answered the phone. I said, Sheena, were you on the phone talking to that boy? She said, no, Miss Ryman was just in the accident. I said, what? I said, I'll be right there. And I came up right up the road there and had the road blocked off. And I said to the state trooper that was there, or the guy that there, it was a helicopter. I seen the helicopter take off. I said, how's the guy? He said he didn't make it. That was a day of adversity. When our son got run over by a car out here, the day we got come up here and started, that was a day of adversity. When our house burnt down, that was a day of adversity. If you faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. I don't want to faint. I don't know what's coming. I appreciate your prayers. I'm praying for you.
Amen.
Be not weary in well-doing. Today I got a call from Joe that Chelsea was on the floor in North Carolina. No lie. I prayed, but I said, I got out of bed, I prayed. And I said, she's going to be all right. She's all right. She's fine. She's going to be good. Joe called me back and he said, preacher, he's crying. He said, April's on the floor. Chelsea didn't make it. I went, no. That ain't true. Nope. It didn't happen. No. With George, I'm like, no, Lord, no. No. God, no. God, no. No. No, Lord. Adversity. What do? Trust him.
Amen.
strength. God, give them strength. Shall mount up wings as eagles. Thou shalt run, not be weary. I believe that verse, folks. I believe what it says. Why? We've experienced it. We've experienced it. Jesse's lived in my house ever since he's been here. Adversity? Yeah, that's another adversity. Jesse's been in the house since he's been here, and he's been around everything we've been through in our household. He's been in. And we cried out to God. And folks, don't you turn tail and run.
Amen.
Don't you turn tail and run and say, I can't take this. If God allowed it, he'll supply the strength.
Amen.
He will supply the strength. If you cry out, say, Lord, help me. After 30 years of all the different adversities we've had, people I love, just seeing them go. I can't quit because, just like those little kids running around here, I don't want those kids to grow up and say, well, we had a good church. Faith Baptist Church, man, was the hottest church around there, Delaware. We used to love going there. But if something happened to the preacher one day, he just quit. And he said he had enough. And he just walked away. And the church fell apart. You say, oh, are you thinking too much of yourself? No, I'm just saying the devil would love to do that. Because people got fighting. Who's going to be in control? Yeah. Who's going to do this? Pray that never happens.
Amen.
Let's keep going. We got all summer long. We're going to see some fruit. I want to see more fruit. I want to see you get stronger. Like I said this morning, going backwards is not the way to go.
Amen.
Going forward, Brother David said, backsliding. It's not the way to go. Going forward. Gaining ground. That's what we ought to be doing. Let's get some strength. Get in this book.
Amen.
Spend more time in prayer.
Amen.
Pray for souls. Pray for your family. Get saved. You say, I've been doing it. Don't give up.
Yeah.
Don't give up. Amen. Father, thank you again tonight, God, for your mercy. Thank you, God, for this church. Lord, my brothers has already said it. My Father, thank you for the men and women of this church. Lord, I pray, God, you'd, Father, help us to stay strong. Lord, help us to keep our eyes on you. Help us to get our strength constantly like a little bird in a nest crying out for mama to give him a worm. I pray, God, help us to be crying out to you, Lord, like that little birdie in that nest, God, asking you to feed us, asking you to strengthen us, asking you to meet our needs and help us to pray one for another and the families of this church, God, that we would get stronger rather than weaker. Our children would get stronger rather than weaker. Our children would be willing to help carry the load. And I thank you, God, like Brother Jim was saying, the young people that got over there yesterday in Vacation Bible School Fund Day got in there and worked and was a blessing and working and taking care of things. Lord, I thank you, God, for their kids. And help them not to ever get bitter at thinking that we don't love them and we don't care and people in this church don't love them, don't care for them. I pray, God, help them to realize, God, we just want the best for them. We want to see them love you and serve you and do right and do good and not mess up their lives. And because some of us messed up our lives before as we were teenagers. And my Father, I pray you strengthen each and every one. Strengthen each family now. Save that soul nearest hell. And bless us as we go down, whoever goes down to this Kenton school. And I pray, God, be with that family now. Comfort them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.